Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, as we approach again into today's lesson with the Word of God. Let that light that is promised out of the Word, let it shine in our hearts, giving us understanding. In the name of Jesus, the entrance of your Word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And encourage every heart on here this morning. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Stagnation and slumber, these are things that should not follow us around in our lives. And this will be the last of these series until the Lord adds something else. You know, we've been doing this Overcome series, and I want to talk about that today. What does the Lord encourage us and promise us and even commands us, you know, rather than stagnation and slumber? It says, well, go forward and emerge or emerge and go forward, you know. So that's what the Lord wants for us, rather than for us to be stagnated, you know, to be in a state of lack of advancement or no progress. Well, the Lord has many things that he promised to help us get out of that. I'm going to focus on some scriptures that give us a positive outlook on what the Lord will say to us. A positive outlook. Praise God. Now, I'm going to start at Genesis chapter 13. This is a good one, and we've spoken about this verse several times, but it's a good one. And this was what the Lord said to Abraham. And you might know the story of Abraham and Lot and so on and so forth. Lot being his nephew, Lot's dad had died. Abraham, when the Lord called him, well, he took Lot along with him. And the situation developed between their two companies that made strife and different things. So finally, Abraham said to Lot, said, look, you know, there's plenty of space all around, you know. Instead of us and our servants and these people fighting among each other, why don't all spread out? You know, why don't we spread out? He said, take whatever you want, and then I'll take whatever is left. You know, and imagine that, you know, he was the one that brought Lot around. And now he's taking, playing second fiddle and letting Lot go first. He said, you go first. That's okay. You go ahead and choose whatever you choose. I'll take whatever is left. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. Now, you know, there was a reason why God blessed Abraham tremendously after that, because he saw that Abraham was willing to even give up his right. Abraham could have said, look, I brought you along. I mean, you know, I'm going to choose first, or just drive him out. And, but no, Abraham gave him, you know, opportunity to go first. Scripture says in honor, preferring one another. And did just that. And then after that, Lot was departed from him, and Lot looked around. He chose the best. He looked and saw all the plains, all the greens, you know, over on this side. He said, well, I'm going to choose that. Abraham said, that's cool. No worries. You know, you choose that, I'll go the other way. You know, that way there won't be any fighting among our companies. So Lot chose all the best looking to the eye, that is. You know, but God has a way of blessing you. He sees you and knows your heart. So the Lord said to Abraham, this is where we pick up this story. Genesis chapter 13. It's where we pick up this story today. So, you know, after that Lot was separated from him, here's what the Lord said to him in verse 14 of Genesis 13. And the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was departed or separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Praise the Lord. You know, that's a powerful, powerful statement, you know. And the Lord promised that he gave to Abraham and his seed. And no one can take that land from them. I don't care if the whole world gather against them, it's not going to work. You know, whosoever shall gather against them shall fall for their sake. That's what the scripture says, because he gave it to them. You know, so, but look at what the Lord said to, you know, Abraham here. After, the Lord waited after. Now, sometimes, you know, you got to be in the right place and you got to be, you know, in the right calling for you to get a true blessing. God called Abraham alone. You know, but out of the goodness of his heart, you know, he took his nephew along, which is okay. But the real blessing of God will not come until he's back to the place where God called him, which was alone. Praise God. The blessing that God can put upon you, you know, unless the Lord said it that way, you know, it's for you alone. Now, if, of course, if you're married, you know, you and your spouse, you are one together. You know, and so forth. You know, God will bless you together. But generally speaking, you know, he said, I called Abraham alone. So God waited, you know, for Lot to be departed. And then he spoke this incredible thing to Abraham. He said, look, come out here and lift up your eyes from where you are. See, that's a revelation right in there. From the place where you are right now, right here. Not where you were yesterday or where you were years ago, whether that was better than today or worse than today. It doesn't matter. God is dealing with you in the now, right now, right here, from the place where you are now. So the word of the Lord is coming to you right now where you are. Now, never mind, you know, what happened before, you know. Right now, he's going to tell you and give you a word of promise. And he gave it to Abraham. He said, look, from here on out. That's right. That means starting now from the place where you are. Look around you. And the Lord also told him something significant that we can glean out of this thing. He said, look, look around you like a 360. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, until I see it forever. So, here's another thing, you know, and I've spoken this before. You've got to see it to obtain it. That's right. See it to obtain it. Now, I've talked about, every time I talk about this scripture, I'm reminded about horizons. And I've spoken and I even preached a message called Faith Horizons. You know, so a horizon is that imaginary line where it seems like the sky meets the ground, you know, and depending on where you are, your own particular elevation at the time and what's in your line of sight, the horizon you see, the distance may vary, you know, but, you know, if you're at sea level, the horizon is not very far in the front. You know, when you higher you go, the farther out the horizon seems. You know, and there is actually a mathematical formula for calculating that. I won't get into that right now, but there's a mathematical formula based on your height, the height of, not your personal stature, but the height of where you're standing. You know, if so, if you're standing on a, at the top of your house, which is a one story or two story house, you know, what you can see will be far limited than when you are standing at the top You come out at the on a 100-story building, go out to the balcony and look. What you will see at that height will be, your horizon will be much farther out. Now, again, if there are things in front of you obscuring your view, you won't even see anything. You know, so you try a little experience, an experiment. Come out of your house and go to your front of your yard and try to see how far you can see ahead of you. Well, if there are houses in your neighborhood that are blocking your view, you can't see anything. You know, more than that. So sometimes, look, you got to elevate. Glory to God. You have to elevate to see farther out. And higher you go, the farther out that you can see. So I call it faith horizons. You know, when your faith is rising based upon the word of God, you get more intimate in the things of God. You learn more about what God is saying and doing. And, you know, you get, you know, higher in faith, then the farther out you can see. But see it, you must, in order to be able to obtain it. He said, for all the land that you see. Now, so if Abraham would have somehow figured out how to see more, then the Lord would have given him more. You know, because he said, all that you see is what I will give you. Now, if you see a little, then you get a little. If you see more, then you get more. It's just, that's what God is saying. Now, see here is, you know, physically seeing, but also it could be visionarily seeing. In other words, you know, you can visualize the thing. You can visualize it, you know, and we have some great visionaries in our time. You know, people who have done and come out, even in science and different things and so forth. You know, there's something they see in their mind that, you know, this can be done, and they're walking towards it. You know, they may try a few times, you know, don't succeed, but they keep trying until they get there. But they see it first, you know. The same thing, you know, talk about, people talk about dreams. You got to dream big dreams, you know, with their kids, you know, when they're growing up. Dream big dreams, you know, and so forth. Now, you know, if you don't have a dream, in fact, the scripture says, my people perish for lack of vision. You know, so that lack of vision is the thing, you know, that makes people to, well, you can call it short-sightedness. You know, it's called vision is sight, right? So you can call lack of vision short-sightedness. And if you don't really see, if you can't see ahead, you know, then you got a problem. The Lord says, well, people perish, you know. People perish because they can't see ahead. Now, and when there is no vision, people also perish. People perish for lack of knowledge. People also perish for, you know, where there is no vision. And vision is very important. If we don't have vision, you know, then we are stagnated. Just stagnated. So the Lord wants us to have vision. We'll talk about that in a bit here. You know, but the vision we are talking about right here is the ability to see ahead. You know, Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 tells you that, look, you've got to develop this ability to see ahead. Because if you don't, well, here's the way he puts it. Proverbs 29 and 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, so, and that means that perishing in this case means actually diminished. You know, in the poorer, you know, still developing countries, one of their greatest challenges is the lack of proper vision, you know, for the people, the welfare and the safety and economic stability of the people. If they don't have the right vision, or the people, the right people in leadership that have the correct vision, then they are backward. So they call them developing countries, but they are more actually like backward because they don't have the right vision. And if you don't have knowledge also, you know, that's another problem. You know, Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 also talks about, you know, when there is no knowledge. You know, so between vision and knowledge, you can actually get, you know, great advancement. But if there is no knowledge and if there is no vision, then the people are going to perish or be diminished or stay stagnant or be backward. Now, stagnancy and backwardness can also be relative, right? So, relative motion, you know, if you are walking with, if two objects are going together, let me just say it this way. Two objects are moving together and one of them suddenly stops and the other one keeps moving. From the perspective of the one that is moving, it looks like the one that stopped was going backwards. But they were not going backwards. They just stopped. All you have to do to be backward is just stop. You just stop. And yet if everything is still moving and you stop, then there, you know, then gap, there's a lot of gap that is created between you and the second object that started out together. And you now you stopped, and then now it's 100 yards, now it's 1 mile, now it's 2 miles. And it looks like the one that stopped actually went backwards, but they didn't go backwards. They just stopped moving, you know, but relatively, compared to the one that was moving, they went backwards, you know. So, and God doesn't want us to go backward. You know, if we go backward, we'll perish. If we go backward, we'll be diminished. God said, go forward. That's what he said. So now also when we don't, you know, understand the proper strategy of going forward, you know, we can get into difficulties. So let's talk about, you know, that. So one thing I have established right now from this one verse is that, you know, God wants you to look ahead. Praise God. And especially when God encourages you that, look, there's greater things ahead, you know, not just where you are right now. Don't be satisfied with status quo. You know, don't be satisfied with status quo. Status quo is just, you know, where you are right now, and that's it. No, there's more, you know. And even spiritually speaking, let's put it this way. It doesn't matter the level and the height that we have gotten, spiritually speaking, there's more. There's always more. No matter how, you know, where you have attained, there is also always more to get. So that's going to be our lesson. I don't know how long it would take me to do this. I may do it over 2 days, so I'm not in a hurry. I'll take my time, you know, but, you know, I'm going to share with us multiple scriptures, you know, and equip us with what the Lord is saying and what the Lord wants for us on this subject. This is a very vital subject. And we put it last because, you know, also the Lord over the last couple of years has been trying to nudge us to go forward and emerge. So let's talk about it. Now, let's read some stories from the Bible. You know, I always love to tell these good Bible stories that help us bring out the point on whatever it is that we are sharing. It's always a good Bible story. A good one that we find, apart from this one of Abraham that we just read, is a story that we find for the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14. When they come out, and they came out of the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh started pursuing after them. I mean, you know the story that it came up against the Red Sea. And we've talked about your Red Sea moments and different things like that. There's a message we preached on that. You know, so when you get to the point where it seemed like there is no way forward, enemy is charging down on you from the back, there is an incredible obstruction in front of you that you cannot pass through, like the Red Sea. Nobody, I never been hurt. Who ever heard of such a thing that people will walk through the Red Sea at that time? It never happened. But let me say this here also, another punchline for today. Just because something hasn't happened before, or let me say it a different way. Just because you haven't heard that it has happened, because it might have happened and you didn't hear it. So we don't know of everything that has happened. Nobody knows that. Only God knows. You only know what you know. You don't know what you don't know. You know, so, you know, you may not have heard that it has been done, but it might have been done. So for you, you know, your scope of knowledge or thinking or your sphere, you know, your own small ecosystem is all you know. Well, you know, this can't be done because it's never been done. Well, that's what you think. You probably may think it can't be done because it's never been done, but you don't even know. It might have been done. Maybe you just don't know about it. But even let's assume that it was never done. You know, then we call those people who did something the first time that has never been done. I call them trailblazers, you know, and just because somebody hasn't heard of it before, or it maybe truly it has never been done, that never stopped God. So people had never crossed the Red Sea before on foot. Well, it's going to happen now in this story. They are right there, but the Lord, you know, wants them to go forward. I mean, it's like, go forward to where? You know, want us to go in the middle of the sea and perish? You know, that's what the people were saying. You should have left us in Egypt. Are there no graves there and all of this stuff, you know? That's what they, you know, murmured and murmured. And they were always murmuring, you know. That's one thing that was, you know, bad with that crowd. Always murmuring. They never saw, you know, anything, any positive light. They never had faith in Moses. They never had faith in the Lord. They had no confidence in the Lord. They had no confidence in Moses. They had no confidence in themselves, you know, that they could even do this thing. You know, they were just a bunch of mixed multitude that, you know, weakened the hearts of the people most of the time. But the Lord is going to tell them something here. Moses himself is in a situation here. I mean, they're up against the Red Sea. Pharaoh is trying to charge down behind them, you know, and what do you do? Well, the Lord says, go forward. Hallelujah. So that's the interesting part in that story. And, you know, when they were there and crying out and so forth. Yes, well, let's just read a few verses. We won't read the whole story. I've summarized the story already, and you already knew it anyway. So let's pick it up from verse 13 of Exodus 14. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now, that was point blank, Moses' faith. And, you know, said, well, this situation that you are facing is temporary. It's only for today. After today, you're going to get victory and it's over. Because they didn't believe him, you know, and Moses himself is standing there and said, look, the Lord shall fight for you and you should hold your peace. So, you know, while Moses is there and in his heart is crying unto the Lord, say, Lord, you know, you brought us this far. See us all the way through. What are we going to do here? And the Lord said to him, look, why are you standing here crying unto me? I already gave you instruction from, you know, the land of Egypt. You know, keep going forward. Don't stand somewhere here and be crying. And the Lord said unto him, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So that is the commandment from your commander in chief. Go forward. Now, of course, the people looked at this scenario. No way we're going forward. Are we going to plunge into this sea and all of us, our little ones, our, you know, our wives and children and everything, you know, perish in this sea? We're not going anywhere. You know, so, but the Lord told them, look, he gave Moses the instruction. And so Moses did the right thing. You know, as he stretched forth his hand over the, you know, the rod over the sea, you know, God caused a strong wind, east wind all that night, made the sea dry land and the waters were divided, we're told. made a heap on either side. Hallelujah. And so the dry land appeared. My goodness. And Moses, when he was standing there, you know, at that point, he's like, well, we're going to see what the Lord is going to do here. You know, the Lord, and there are different times that the Lord has shown Moses this kind of thing before, you know. And Moses, you know, even remember that Moses wrote this book of Genesis, you know, and wrote everything. Well, we don't know at which time. I think all that time that he was in the, you know, the mount, God gave him a lot of things to write. And in his later days, he wrote a lot of things. But, you know, God has showed him, and he knows, and he's seen it a few times. You know, God showed him the gathering together of the waters. You know, in the beginning, God said, you know, let the dry land, you know, appear. You know, let the waters that are, you know, above the firmament, let them gather over here and let the dry land appear. Praise God. It's pretty much the same thing here in the story of the Red Sea. Let the waters be gathered over onto either side and let the dry land appear. And so they walked over on, but see, the lesson was go forward. Don't stand here bemoaning your situation. Go forward. And until you are ready in your mind to go forward, the Red Sea is going to be a Red Sea. But when you are ready to go forward, the Lord will part the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what you have not yet seen. Well, blessed are the people that believe even when they have not seen. These people wanted, we will wait and see. Well, okay. So maybe that's the way that they were. But, you know, you have to learn to move forward when the Lord, you know, commands us, you know, to do that. You know, so when they were there, the commandment was to go forward. Now, finally, the Lord had to help their faith and their own belief, you know, by parting the Red Sea, you know. So I believe that even if they had moved into that sea, even when the sea was still the sea, it would have parted, you know, but they were too afraid. And I, you know, rightfully so. I mean, you see this raging sea, who in the world is going to dare to step into that sea? So Lord parted the Red Sea for them. You know, and they went through, you know, on dry land. But the instruction was, go forward. Now, they went forward at that point, but every time they got, you know, they were confronted with some other challenge or difficulty in their minds, they went backward. They always went backward to Egypt in their mind. You know, if they ran up, if they came up against no water, their heart would say, let's go backward to Egypt. They come up against no food. It was like, well, we need to go back to Egypt. We had meat. We had this. We had that. So in their heart, you know, they were always going back. But God wanted them, you know, to go forward. Now, going forward is a lesson, you know, that God, always wants us to do. There's a story here in Joshua, chapter 3. This is Joshua. I mean, Joshua has seen this thing with Moses before. He has seen the Red Sea dry up, and he has seen, you know, people crossed on dry land. He was one of the people, you know, and this time around when God was commanding him, saying, look, let the priest bear the ark and, you know, go forward and so forth. You know, when they get to, you know, this raging river Jordan at that time, because at this time we were told that Jordan overflowed its banks. And Jordan was a, you know, could be a raging river at times. You know, if, you know, you find that even in Jeremiah 12 and 5, it refers to the raging of Jordan. He said, look, in the land of peace and everything, if you can't make it, what are you going to do when, you know, overswelling of Jordan, you're told. So this Jordan was also a fiery thing to pass. But the Lord told them that, look, it shall come to pass that as soon as your feet you know, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters shall be cut off, the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand still on a heap. You know, and, you know, Joshua, he had seen that before. The second time that he's going to do it. Now, listen to this. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 13. And he told them, it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters shall be cut off on the waters that come from above, and they shall stand up in a heap. But you got to go forward. As long as you are still looking at Jordan raging, it will be Jordan raging. But when you move forward, the moment your feet touch those waters, it will part. God will split them on either side and go through on dry land. So the commandment is to go forward. That's always the commandment. But will they go forward? Sometimes, and maybe not. You know, in their hearts, they want to go backwards. You know, but so there are a few lessons we have learned so far already. From where you are, God doesn't want you to remain there. He wants you to visualize more conquests, you know, all, you know, around you. Forward, you know, I mean, east, west, north, south, and so forth. And if you can see it, the Lord said, well, I'll give it to you. So you got to see it to get it. You know, also, it is important that when the Lord tells us to go forward, then we indeed, we must go forward. And we cannot stand still in one place. Praise the Lord. Go forward, is what the Lord said. Now, if this in the, there are a few other scriptures I want to give us. There's many other stories where we see in the scriptures. In the book of Numbers, chapters 13 and 14, we've talked about this story also several times. The story of the spies that were sent to go check out the land. You know, what we are bringing out in these stories is, you know, God's instruction for them to go forward, and the way the minds of the people were walking, trying to go backwards. So I'm bringing these stories. Now, in the case of Abraham, he was not afraid to go forward. He did. You know, but in the case of this mixed multitude, they were always thinking we couldn't do it. So in Numbers 13 and 30, you know, the Moses sent forth these people to go and spy out the land, picked out one from each tribe. You know the story. And they went and spied out the land and so forth. Now, when they come back in Numbers 14, verses 7 to 9, you know, they came back, but their report, you know, was, you know, not a good thing. Even though they brought the evidence, they brought fruit of the land, they see all of these things and so forth. You know, they did not give a good report. However, you know, 10 of them, you know, gave an evil report. However, two of them, Joshua and Caleb, they gave a good report. And their report was, you know, reported here. When they heard all the things that the other people were saying, you know, to weary the hearts of the people, they rent their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, this is Numbers 14 and 7, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, and he'll bring us into this land, just like he told us, and he'll give it to us. It's a land that is flowing with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. We're going to have them for lunch. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, this is a, you know, this is a posture of, you know, courageous faith. I mean, These Joshua and Caleb, I mean, they were something else. In this face of all the discouragement from all the others, they said, no, we can do this. These people are bred for us. Their defense, look, we already spied them out. We've seen their weaknesses. The Lord is our strength. Let us go and take this thing at once. But all the congregation said, you know, stone them. Beat them with stone. They want to, you know, send us into our death. You know. And so you can see, but Joshua and Caleb, they were not, you know, deterred by all of the unbelief of the people.
They set their heart to go forward. And they got the reward too. Because all the others that did not sanctify the commandment to go forward in their hearts, the Lord said, well, you not go anywhere. In fact, you will not get there. Because you did not sanctify me and you did not believe me. And then all this fear that you said our children would die. Well, these your children that you thought they would die, they will be the ones that survive. But you will die and you will not get anywhere. And so you will see my breach of promise. Lord said, look, as you have spoken in my ears that we would die, so you will die. So be careful now what you say. Yeah, speak positive things before the Lord. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 28 will tell you that. As you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. You know, so the Lord, he did unto them as they spoke in the Lord's ears. And what are you speaking in the Lord's ears that he might do unto you? Now, the Lord also told them, like, you are going to know the breach of my promise, you know, because of all of your unbelief. Your carcasses would fall in this wilderness and so forth. And you are going to spend 40 years going around, one day for each of the days that the land was searched out by the spies. I mean, 1 year for each of those days. So then 40 days. You're going to spend 40 years and you all be weary and you all die and perish in this wilderness. You're going nowhere. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let us not die in the wilderness. I don't want to die in the wilderness. I want to get to the promised land. Praise the Lord. You know, so, and the Lord, they knew the breach of promise because they would not go forward in their hearts. They wanted either to stay where they were or even go backwards. And that's not what the Lord wants for us. Now, let's read a few more scriptures here. You know, the ability to prosper, the ability to do well, these things come from the Lord. And the Lord wants us to prosper. The Lord actually wants you to thrive and not just barely survive. 3 John chapter 2, I wish above all things that you prosper, you know, prosper, and that you be in health. Even as your soul prospers, the Lord wants us to have advancement. You know, prosper also means advancement. He told Joshua, you know, if you keep my words, meditate upon it and so forth, Joshua chapter 1, you know, verses 8 and 9, you know, you will have good success and you will prosper in everything you do. You will have advancement, you know, advancement and not stagnation. You know, you will prosper when you are meditating on the word of the Lord. You will do well. You will also flourish. You know, the secrets that God gave Joshua in Joshua 1 verses 8 and 9, they're the same thing that the psalmist pretty much called out in Psalm 1. He said, look, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the ungodly. I mean, in the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his light doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by rivers of water, you know, whose leaves will fail not, because he's getting nourishment straight from the river. And he'll bring forth his fruit in his season. It will never dry up. There's no dead season. There's no off season. There's no out of season for this person that's constantly meditating on the word of God, because they're getting direct nourishment from the source. And so it's the same kind of thing. But God wants us to prosper. God doesn't want us to dry up. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to be flourishing. And he wants us, no matter what season we are in, to always be in season. You know, we talk about these seasons and so forth all the time. And I often, anytime I on this subject, I like to always remind the people that we are the ones that have season. And, you know, God in dealing with us, you know, if he has to drop down into our season, it's just for our benefit. God doesn't have any season. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, so this business of, well, we are in the season of prosperity, you know, the season of release, and that thing. We say it just to encourage people. Yeah, as far as God is concerned, you can be in the season of release. You can be in the season of prosperity all the time. You know, all the time. You know, if you know how to do it, you know, you'll be say, look, his leaves will not wither, and he will bring forth his fruit in his season. That means he will never be out of season. You're always in season because you're connected to the source. You know, but, you know, God wants us to move forward and flourish. Listen to Psalm 92 and verse 12. The righteous, he said, shall flourish as a palm tree. You know, these palm trees, they have a way of just flourishing no matter what's going on. Righteous will flourish, you know, as a palm tree. And there's that, you know, those are connected with God. You know, there's something good that will happen for them. You know, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That's a good kind of fat. To show that the Lord, that means robust. It shall be robust and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there's no unrighteousness in him. But listen to this. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. When you are connected to the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of our God. What place is the courts of our God? Well, that's the whole world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So, you know, wherever you are, basically, you will flourish. Praise God. Because you are connected, you know, with the source. Now, Proverbs, you know, chapter 4 and verse 18. Progressively, you can do better. You may start out a little, but progressively, you got to do better. Here's what it says in Proverbs 4 and 18. The path of the just or the righteous is as a shining light and shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So, you know, every day that passes, there's more light, there's more improvement, there is more advancement. Praise the Lord. It may start out as a little, you know, but the next thing you know, it's growing and it's growing. And that's what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to be stagnated. If you are not growing, you are stagnated. If you are not moving, you're actually going backwards relatively. And you know, in the early church, the Bible said God added to the church daily such as should be saved. And the word of God grew and multiplied. They were always growing and multiplying. Even in the ministry, if we are not growing and we're not multiplying, then we are stagnant. You know, and God doesn't want us to be, you know, like that. You know, we should be growing. We should be moving. Jesus told a story in Mark, you know, chapter 4. He gave a parable and he spoke many parables. And I love the parables of Jesus. You heard me say that before. You know, he always had these parables that he said. He said, look, you know, the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground. This is Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. And the man should go to sleep. He will rise night and day, and the seed shall spring up and grow. The man knows not how. For the earth will bring forth fruit of herself. First, now, so here is the process that Jesus described. First, the blade. Then, the air. And after that, the full corn in the air. You know, so, but there is a process. But it keeps getting better. It keeps on increasing. It starts out with a couple of grain that you plant in this ground, they die, then they bring forth, and then the first thing you see is a blade. But it doesn't stop there. Then you see the air, you know, and then it doesn't stop there. Then you see the full corn. You know, so progressively, your light will be shining more and more. God wants you to get better. You know, Bible say, well, Isaac sowed in that land, and then, you know, in a year, he prospered. It may not be overnight. I mean, this overnight nonsense that people tell us that, look, you put $500 in the basket and you'll be an instant millionaire. You know, well, that's not how it works. But the Lord, you know, when you look back 1 year from today, you will be a lot farther ahead than you were a year ago. That's how it works. God is always making us to advance as long as you keep moving. It may not happen overnight, you know, but God may make something happen for you overnight. If he does, it's called a quantum leap. But, you know, not everybody will experience a quantum leap. Some, the Lord told me, will experience a quantum leap. You know, but quantum leap is there. But even without the quantum leap, which is, you know, some significant, you know, instantaneous, you know, enlargement and, you know, a transposition from one place to another immediately, you know, a large gap in between, you know, God can change. He can do it. And change your story from nothing to everything all at once, you know. And there are stories like that in the Bible, you know, where God just changed their story. I mean, Joseph, in one day, he was a prisoner. Before the end of that day, he became vice president or vice regent or commander over all of Egypt. In the same day, one day, he was a prisoner. That same day, before that day finished, you know, he was over the land. Now, if you look at the story just for that one day, that was a quantum leap. But he didn't get to that quantum leap in one day. It took him a long time. He was probably in that suffering state for 13 years or more. You know, I mean, so, but if you just compress the story into the one day that, you know, the butler finally remembered him. And, you know, he came to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. If you just compress into that one day, then it's a quantum leap. Because in one day he was here and then the next day he was there, you know. But there is a process, too, that he went through, you know. So, but either way, you should never be stagnant. Where you are today should be better than yesterday. And where you are today, you know, should be a springboard to more to come for you tomorrow. So that's the way we should always look at it. And I've often said to people, I said, look, when you come to the Lord to get anything from the Lord, you know, like progress, like blessings, like advancement, and so forth, there's always more where that came from. There's always more. You know, when you bring your vessel to the sea. You've heard me say that sometimes. Well, why bring a small vessel when you can bring a larger vessel? Why bring a bucket when you can bring a barrel? Why bring a barrel when you could bring a tanker? And so on and so forth. But, you know, there's always more. Listen to this. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14. Even in spiritual things, he said, look, earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. So he's using the expanse of the sea as the scope of what we can get from God. You know, now you can come, take a little and walk away. Okay, fine. Somebody can come and take some more. But, you know, we can keep pressing forward. And, you know, Paul had these things to say to people that like to think that they have arrived. He said things like this. He said, look, if any man thinketh that he has arrived, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, he has not arrived yet. I mean, although that's not exactly how he said it, in that place he said, if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Now remember, the knowledge shall be as the waters cover the sea. So you get some, come back, there's more. So look, God wants us to keep on improving and keep on advancing. And the more you get from God, the more, I mean, even more you can get, you know, there's more, you know, you can think, because God is past finding out. You can't exhaust the Lord, you know. Now, there's a good scripture that will give you an insight, the things that, you know, God wants us to have when he promises us advancement, he wants us also to know that he is able to do it. And you will be getting stronger and stronger. You will be getting better and better. Listen to Job chapter 17 and verse 19. He said, look, the righteous man can hold his own. You know, And look, if you have a clean hand, or your hands are clean, you'll be improving. You'll be getting stronger and stronger. You know, so there's a process of improvement, you know, improvement all the time. The righteous shall hold his own. You know, you can hold your own, you know, you hold your own. Don't lose any ground, but don't stop by not losing ground. Don't lose ground. That's one, but advance. That's two. Get stronger and stronger. Improve more and more. Increase more and more. Isn't that what the Lord said, you know, in, Psalm 100, you know, and, 15 and verse 14. Isn't that what the Lord said? Well, let's see how he said it. He said, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. That's Psalm 115 verse 14. So it's a constant increase. He doesn't want you to be stagnant or to be in one place. He said he will increase you more and more, you and your children. Praise the Lord. Now, don't refuse the increase. God wants to increase you more and more. There's the many, many promises that the Lord gives us of what he wants for us. Praise God. Now, listen to Isaiah, you know, chapter 43 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 18. You know, the Lord says, look, I am going to do a new thing. Whatever it is that you had before, you know, that's okay. But now I am going to do, you know, something new. Praise the Lord. What is a new thing? Well, it is new because, I mean, new for you. It may not be new to everybody, but new for you. It's something that you may not have experienced before, or a place where you may not have reached or attained unto, but the Lord said, well, you know, I'm going to bring you into a place. I'm going to show you something new. He told Jeremiah, he said in the book of Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, he said, look, there's a lot of things, and Jeremiah was a prophet and even a seer and all of that. And the Lord told him, look, there's a lot of things that I've shown you before, but there's more to show you. But you've got to call unto me. He said, call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know yet. That means revelation is even progressive. You know, natural, in the natural realm, God wants us to be progressive. In the spiritual realm, he wants us to be progressive. He never wants us to be stagnated. You know, let's read, you know, how, you know, the writer of the book of Proverbs even puts this: when we are not, you know, moving forward. How do you put it? Well, let's read Proverbs chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. It talks on, now I'm going to talk about slumber. Because remember, this lesson is about stagnation and slumber. Slumber is, you know, just laziness, folding of the arms, not trying to advance, not trying to move forward and so forth. You know, so instead of moving forward, we just pack it in. He said, look, yet a little sleep. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 10. Yet a little sleep and yet a little slumber. What's going to happen? You know, when you sleep instead of doing something, and you just slumber and waste away the time, that's almost like also procrastination too. You know, well, it says, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. You know, so slumbering and, you know, sleeping when we should be active and doing something only brings backwardness and poverty. And, you know, he said, look, why don't you even, you know, go and learn, you know, from the ant how he does his thing. you know, I mean, these ants are, you know, like, they don't really have a leader, a commander per se, the way we talk about it. But in verse 6 of Proverbs 6, it said, look, you sluggard. Now, this is somebody who's procrastinating. Procrastination is your enemy, one of your worst enemies, the enemy of progress. You know, fold your arms and do nothing. When you should have gotten up and do it, say, I'll do it next time. Well, go to the ant, he said, thou sluggard, and consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide, overseer or ruler, yet provided her meat in the summer and gathered her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep? Oh, sluggard. But let me put it this way. Sleep is good. Rest is good. You know, but laziness is not good. You know, the kind of sleep that he's saying here is not this required sleep in rest that we need. It's the sleep that we should have gotten out of bed, but you keep on sleeping. You know, I know that, you know, when we were young, and everybody that's younger, you know, maybe little children and so forth, they go through all of this. Their parents make them get up at a certain time. If you go to a boarding school, there are rules. You got to get up at a certain time. All of these things are designed to train us through life. You know, sometimes people want to sleep in. Well, maybe, you know, parents will let them sleep in on Saturdays because they don't have to go to school early. So they sleep in. But on the day when they're supposed to get up and get ready for school, the parent is not going to let them to sleep in. If they're trying to sleep, the parent is going to yank them out of that bed. So think of that, the same kind of thing. There are times God wants us to get up and do something, and we're still asleep and so on. That's not a good thing. Even the story that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 25, when the virgins were waiting, you know, this Bible says they all slumbered and slept. Now, some of them, though, even though they were sleeping, physically taking rest, they were prepared because they had made preparation. Some were not prepared, and they just slumbered and slept. But there was a time I said, look, get up from your sleep, do something. Call the lamp trimming time. You know, they got up and said, well, trim your lamps, and you know, bridegroom is coming. Plus, the lazy ones who hadn't, you know, done what they should have done, you know, who hadn't put together additional oil, they call them foolish. Well, they missed out, you know. So he's calling out even this sluggardness here. I don't know if that's a word. How long will you be, you know, sleeping, thou sluggard? When will thou arise from thy sleep? He said, yet a little sleep, you know, and yet a little slumber, you know, so shall thy poverty come to thee as a marked man, and so forth. Now, listen to verse 4 of the same Proverbs 6. Give not sleep to thine eyelids, nor slumber to thy eyelids. You know, don't just be sleeping when you should be wide awake and doing something. In fact, even in spiritual things, he said, look, you know, don't fall asleep. Don't let that day come and take you unawares. You know, so a folding of the arms when we should be up and doing will only result in poverty. You know, the lazy man, the slothful man, the sluggard says, well, there's a lion in the street. There's a lion in the street. I can't go out today. They'll find all kinds of excuses to not do what they should do. What thou doest, do thou quickly. You know, don't procrastinate it to some other day. These things lead to backwardness, stagnation, and no progress. You know, if you keep on postponing, you know, time doesn't wait for anybody. You know, time doesn't wait for anybody. There are some small pieces of time, you know, even then they pass quickly, like minutes and hours. They pass quickly. Like since we've been in this room now, it's been an hour. So that hour is gone. But that's a small piece of time. But enough time passes when you look back, you'll see larger pieces of time like years, you know, and years will pass. And then what? You know, and then you say, wow, you know, like, you know, since the beginning of this year, months have passed. Well, since we started this platform, a couple of years have passed. Well, since you were this and that, a few years have, I mean, just think about it. On and, you can go on and on and on. You know, and if you procrastinate the thing, well, you find out that many years will pass and then you'll be still there and say, oh, wish I would have done that. You know, so God wants us to move forward. Doesn't want us to be stagnant and he doesn't want us to slumber. I am going to split this lesson into two because I've got as many and even more scriptures to cover as the ones I have covered so far. So rather than, you know, go for another 20, 30, 40 minutes, I'm going to split it here. We'll finish it up tomorrow, you know, by the grace of God. You know, so right now, let me just do a quick review of what we have covered so far. We're going to leave it there. It's a it's an interesting series, and it'll be like, you know, the like the capstoning of this series that we've been doing, because this is the last you know, of the topics. Praise the Lord. So today we have talked about how God called Abraham and gave him, you know, strategy. Said, look, I want you to look this way, look that way, etc. And whatever you see, I will give to you. So we called out the point that, look, we got to have vision. We got to look. We got to see. And I also spoke about the higher you go, the farther out you can see, or the greater your sight, your line of sight. Let's put it that way. You know, so, and how do we go higher? How do we climb higher? Well, we spend time, more time with the Lord. That takes us into higher realms of faith. You read the word, you learn the word more. That will even increase your line of sight and you can see farther out. That's another thing to bear in mind. But if you don't see it, you're not going to get it. So first you must see it. So, you know, how do you see it? Well, you are looking for a job. Well, see yourself in that job and begin to dress the part, act the part, do whatever. Of course, you have to go out and look for the job. You can't sit down in the house. You know, that will be a little sleep, a little slumber. Can't sit down in the house and say, well, I'm looking for a job. I'm going to get a job. And you sit down, you don't look for a job. You're not going to get it. You know, so, but, you know, act the part, you know. Yeah, if you are, you know, trying to get married or whatever, well, start to prepare, you know, start checking out your, you know, I know that all the years that we were wanting our children to get married, my wife and I, she especially, she was always acting the part. Go out and start preparing, you know, if it's our daughter that's to get married, you know, no husband though. She's already buying up all these things, preparing for the, you know, for the wedding. Yeah. You know, if it is this and that, you know, always making preparation. Well, that's faith, you know, because she's seeing it and she's believing it and preparing towards it. See yourself walking down the aisle, you know, preparing. Whatever it is you're preparing for it. Expecting a baby, start preparing the baby room. You're expecting you know, promotion, start declaring it, you know, and so on. I mean, you know, but see it. You got to see it. Jesus himself said it in John chapter 16 and verse 13. He said, the Holy Ghost, when he comes, even the Spirit of truth, will guide you into all truth. And he will show you things to come. So those things to come, the Holy Spirit will show it to you. Now, see it to attain it. You must see it in order to attain it. That's what God told Abraham. So that's a key lesson today. Holy Spirit will also help you to see things that are ahead, according to John 16 and 13. When he shows it to you, you know, and that's how I try to use my faith. Once the Holy Spirit shows it to me in the realm in which I'm visualizing it, then I latch onto it because I've already seen it. And the Lord, you know, Bible says, look, Ephesians 3 and 20, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think or imagine. But first, you got to imagine it. You got to think it. If you can think it or imagine it, God can do it and even more. So those are the lessons we brought. Show the examples of some people that were hesitant to move forward, others that were bold, you know, and so forth, you know, to say, look, we can do it. We can take the land. And on which side are you going to be? Are you going to be the hesitant son? Are you going to be the one that's seeing the Red Sea? You know, well, we can't do it. You're the one that's seeing the giants in the land. We can't do that. Or you're going to be the one that say, look, we can do it. God is with us. We can, you know, we can take these people. They are nothing. Their strength is departed from them. You know, so, or are you going to fold your arms in the, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, here's a good scripture also that say, look, while you are young, you know, that's when you should do a lot of things. You know, don't wait until you are older and then things become even more difficult. You know, it says it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Lamentations 3 and 27. What does that mean? It means while you are young, that's when you should bear the yoke. When you want to go to school, do it while you are still younger. Don't wait until you are old and then you start to say, oh, I got to go back to school. Well, do it while you are still young. You know, do it. You know, don't procrastinate. If you procrastinate, years will go by and you can't get those years back. While you are young, that's when you bear the yoke. That's when you put in the labor, the effort and all the things. And then later years, you relax, you enjoy the good of all your labor. So, you know, let me leave it there. That's our lesson for today. We're not finished yet with this lesson. I've got a whole lot more to say on the subject of stagnation and slumber and what God promises us instead, which is emerge and go forward. So I am going to yield my mic here, leave it here. But first, let me pray over the room. We'll come back by the grace of God tomorrow. We're going to finish this off. There's more to come. There's some additional insight that I want to share with us. A few punchlines here and there, some additional revelation and more promises from the scriptures to see what the Lord is saying to us at this time. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that has listened. We have shared your word again. You know, I pray that our eyes will be anointed with eyes of that we may see these things. Jesus said, blessed are your eyes that see these things. Well, that our ears also be anointed that we may hear these things. Jesus said, blessed are your ears that hear these things. And when we hear, help us to understand, hallelujah, what the Spirit is saying to the church, even at this time. Father, we give you the glory for the promises, the commandment to emerge, and the promise of emerging and going forward. Even the promise of a quantum leap, you know, if we can truly believe it, all things are possible to him that believes. And we thank you, Lord, for all these things. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. I pray for those that will now share. You know, let their words also be inspired to bless all of us together. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.